You're listening to the Fantasy Wildcard Podcast.
Good evening. Welcome to the Fantasy Wildcard Dynasty Show. I'm your host, Kev. You can follow me on X at the Dynasty Mind. With me tonight, we've got the best two. We've got the main man himself, Ali, who you can follow on X at FF Dynasty Grill. Good evening, Ali. How are you doing?
Good evening, Kev. Doing really good, thank you, although a bit nervous about my internet connection tonight. We've had, as you mentioned just before we came on, we've had a little bit of wind in the UK today, and it's I think it's playing tricks with my my Wi-Fi, but we'll soldier on. It is the best two, because I think, I believe the latest reports are that Mags is out having a fight with Atlanta fans. So it's just me and you tonight, and can't wait for the guests we've got on and tonight's show.
Indeed, I echo that sentiment. We have got an amazing guest tonight, but I'll just touch upon Mags first of all. Like, when he's not fighting with Falcons fans, he's appearing on national TV in Scotland. So very excited to see what happens with that, and just hope he has a blast on that show tonight. But we're going to bring it back to our amazing guest that we've got on tonight's show. He's the operations manager at DLF. He's the man behind the curtain of the Dynasty League Football X account. He's someone that edits my work over at DLF, makes it look better than it probably is, and he sees tons of articles every month, every year. So such a fountain of knowledge. Want to give a warm wildcard welcome to Eric Dickens. Good afternoon, Eric. I heard you've got some lineage to the UK. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Excited to be here. And I took one of those DNA tests, and I guess a large percentage of my DNA comes from Southeast UK. So maybe the Dickens name means something. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a popular name here in the UK with the writer Charles Dickens, and it's a perfect name for someone that's into writing with the Dickens theme there. So on tonight's show, we'll be discussing the incoming rookies at running back. It's such an interesting class. No real consensus, plenty of different views, but we're looking to get your thoughts tonight on eight of these running back prospects to help us sift through the weeds and get us to the right answer. So first off, we're going to come to Trey Benson. What's your thoughts on Trey Benson, Eric?
So I am, this is a disclaimer, I am late to the game with rookies in comparison to a lot of people who follow them throughout their college careers, just with the amount of data, articles, video on existing NFL players. I usually don't start breaking down rookies until right before the combine. And so that kind of continues through the combine and then up through the NFL draft and beyond. So I've gotten a late start on this compared to a lot of people. So I'm going more off of the video clips, cut-ups that I've seen. I try not to look at just the highlights, but the lowlights too. So I definitely have some opinions on these guys. Benson, I like, but I don't think I like as much as consensus. I know at DLF he is currently running back one, 13th overall in our rookie rankings. He also is running back 23 overall in ADP from last month. And I don't think I would take him at those spots, but I do still like him. I think his lateral quickness is leaving a little bit to be desired. I think he fits a lot better in like a zone scheme where he just has one cut to make and then go. And I think he's quick, obviously, but I think the time that it takes him to get to that top end speed is a little slower than I'd like for his size. So, it sounds like I don't like the guy. I do like him. I think I have him at RB2 in the class, but most people have him at RB1 or somewhere in there. So I hear others on this very show may like him slightly more than me.
I guess that's where I come in. He is my RB1. He wasn't my RB1 until only a few weeks ago, actually, where I had the next guy we're going to talk about as my RB1, but this guy just slightly overtook him. I just think because of the potential that he's going to have to produce straight away, whereas the next guy potentially could miss a lot of his rookie season. But yeah, these two are very much in my top tier. I think Trey Benson very much ticks all the boxes for me. I can't really see any glaring weaknesses to his game. I think he's got good three down potential. Obviously, when you look back at his career, he didn't start off very well with that massive injury where he basically broke everything, tore everything back in 2020. But he come back and he's been absolutely fine. And although he's not been uber productive compared to some of these other running backs in this class, I do think that he's got right up there with the best skill sets that relate really nicely to the NFL. So I think he's pretty patient with his blocks. I like to see that. But he's also got that second gear, and you see the long speed when he gets out in the open. And then the final box for me to tick is pass catching, and he can do that absolutely fine. So I've got no doubt that he's going to be in the mix for the first running back drafted in the actual NFL draft. And yeah, sort of consensus has gone towards Trey Benson. I've also seen him in your rookie drafts and super flex formats. He's sort of moving towards the back end of round one. So if he used to get pretty decent draft capital, mate, perhaps back end of round two, if he's one of the first running backs taken, maybe early round three, I could be tempted to take a few shares right at the back of round one if I'm one of the contenders from last year.
Yeah, I think with Benson, like, I mean, first of all, the disclaimer is this rookie class, it's a lot less desirable than previous ones. I think if I had to compare it to a recent class, probably 2019, the one with your Jacobs, your Sanders, Montgomery. There's some players out of that class that have done pretty well in certain parts, but sort of talent-wise, prospect-wise, I have that as a similar level. I think, yeah, with Benson, the reason he's getting pushed up your draft boards is he's expected to be the first one off the board in real life. I think he's a solid prospect in terms of does everything good, I would say, nothing amazing. I think if he was in another draft class, he'd slide pretty far down it. But I really think that out of the sort of top running backs in this class, he's the one that's got the least holes in his game. So that's the reason why he's up there. Pass game wise, I still think there's a little bit more that I'd like to see from that. A couple of clips I've seen where he basically catches the ball and falls over himself, which is obviously going to be even harder in the pros. So I'm not going to say he's deserving of being running back one overall. I think he's in my top tier of three, but it's on the basis that he's got less holes than everyone else. And yeah, if he's a round two, round three guy, he's going to be someone that's going early round two in rookie drafts, I would imagine. So we're going to move on to our next running back prospect. This is a guy that's, I guess you could say, a projection based on sort of how he finished last season with the injury and what we know so far this offseason. Next guy we've got is Jonathan Brooks. Eric, what's your thoughts on this guy?
So yeah, a good point that you made just about the class in general is this class definitely on paper doesn't look as good, or especially at the high end, at the top tier. But there's going to be somebody that emerges. And for me, I think that guy's Brooks, even if we have to wait a half a year or a year, just going back and looking at what he did on film. I probably have a type also. I tend to like those guys who are laterally quick, who can make moves in tight spaces. And he does that very, very well. On the downside, he's not as physical as you'd like to see. And there isn't a great reason for that with his size. But sometimes he doesn't finish runs hard. That's really the only negative that I have other than the injury issues. One interesting thing that I saw was, you know, in DLF Dynasty rankings, which are consensus rankings, six or seven rankers are doing it. He's RB2, 14th overall in the rookie class. But in ADP, which is collected from the Dynasty community, he came in at RB17, which is six spots higher than Trey Benson did among our RBs. So that's interesting to me. It seems like maybe the community is a little bit higher on Brooks, but Dynasty rankers or writers are a little bit higher on Benson. So that does give me a little bit of pause. I just think there's a lot to like about Brooks. And I do think it's going to take him a little bit. I think that you're going to kind of see similar to what we've seen with other guys who've had some major injuries, where they may play earlier than we expect, but they don't necessarily play well, or they're missing a step. And the key will be, can he get through that uninjured? You know, because if he gets re-injured, like J.K. Dobbins did multiple times, or has complications, then this could turn into not even a conversation. So there is some risk there, which is why, for me, in rookie drafts, running backs are just going to be dropping down the board, not because I don't think they have any talent, but they all have some kind of issue or question mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think mentioning that injury, I think had it not been for that injury, I think you would be hearing about buzz about Jonathan Brooks perhaps getting towards the back end of round one in the NFL draft, really early round two, because I think he is, for me, he's the most talented running back in this class, bar none. I think he's a true workhorse. He's one of the only few in the class. Got that three down skill set. Love his lateral quickness. Just looks so effortless gliding through the tackles. And he would have been my RB1 without that injury. He's really is a tier of two with Benson now emerging, which is seen as a consensus, I guess. But he certainly made the most of his opportunity since Bijan Roshon Johnson left. There and yeah, if he gets round two, I've seen a lot of buzz late round two pick, early round three. Again, I can see him being in the same tier as Benson, where people are going to reach on him at the back end of round one. If he falls to the early round two, that's where I'm going to be snapping him up, because I think that is, I don't mind waiting for him if it is 6 months, if it is the early part of or the latter part of the season where he emerges, then absolutely fine, because he's such a talented back. And perhaps deserves a bit more praise if it wasn't for that injury.
Yeah, I think you made some great points, Eric, about the risk profile, that there is risk with him. But I think, yeah, like yourself, he's my running back one, just based on how poor the class is overall and sort of the untapped side, that he could be the one that really stands out, who maybe sort of analytics and film people haven't had a chance to see enough of to really gauge that. I think one interesting piece is that, because of obviously being at Texas with guys like Bijan and Roshon Johnson, etc., he's not got a ton of tread on the tires. And some people see that as a good thing, but actually there's correlation between being able to handle a college workload and carry that on to the pros. Obviously injury kind of backs that up, but just on a bigger scale, that does make sense. I've heard plenty of buzz about really, really simple connecting the dots. He plays at Texas. The Dallas Cowboys have a running back need. People are screaming out for that to happen already, aren't they? Which is pretty funny. But I just think, yeah, he's my running back one. I don't really want to take the running back one of the class. If I'm in my rookie drafts, I don't want to be the first to sort of show my hand and go for the running back, because I think they've all got holes in them. If I can move down a little bit and get a running back and add further assets, that would be great. But I think if I've got a luxury pick in the second, I'm more inclined to go for Brooks than maybe someone I need to contribute early in year one, like a Trey Benson. So definitely someone I'm intrigued with, but understanding the range of outcomes as well.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a year where you wouldn't mind having multiple seconds. If for no other reason, mm-hmm. to just have more dart throws at the running back position. You know, if you have 1 second and yeah, you're looking for somebody to contribute, then you may not even go the way of the running backs. You may stay at a different position, but I would love to have two or three picks in the early to mid second and know that you're probably going to hit on one fantasy starter and potentially more, or at least somebody in a timeshare where you're going to get some good games out of them.
Definitely. I think, yeah, like you say, it's a big tier, and having plenty of shots at that is gonna be fruitful in your rookie drafts.
I also just quickly feel like Jonathan Brooks, because of that injury, perhaps he's going to miss the first part of the season. His value is pretty insulated going into year two of his career. I think a lot of people are going to expect that jump. So a bit like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he didn't need to show too much in year one, and his value's so insulated. I think that's going to be the same with Brooks. So it's going to be a pretty safe bet to make in round two.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if he goes on day two like we expect, that will that'll solidify that that thought process as well. Now we're going to move on to a guy that he's been talked about all over the place. I think there's been links to obviously his college coach, who's now in the NFL as well, and a guy that we spoke about on a previous show, so Blake Corum. What's your thoughts on him, Eric?
I'm definitely not as high on him as most. In fact, when I was putting together these running back rankings and looking at kind of tiers, I actually don't have him in my top two tiers, which is four deep. So he's actually my running back five in the class. I look at him a little bit as a like Najee Harris type runner, where he's tough. He is not afraid of contact. He does well inside the tackles, but I think he struggles with his vision. I think sometimes he misses the obvious hole or doesn't have the ability to make that cut that he needs to. And so he just, you know, slams forward and sometimes that works and he gets, you know, long chunk runs. But somebody like Najee Harris to me is better in a committee. And I definitely view Corum as a committee back. You know, let's say he goes to the Chargers, that's him and Gus Edwards, and they're very similar in style to me. And so I wonder how that would kind of fit. Now, if he goes somewhere and he gets tons of touches, then, you know, obviously that changes. If he gets paired with somebody who catches some passes, but Corum is first and second down guy, then he can definitely put up fantasy points. This kind of goes back to what I said about me having a type at running back. He's just not the type that I'm looking for in today's NFL. So that's why I have him a little bit lower. But yeah, his patience is really good. But again, I wonder if that patience is linked with like an inability to make some of the moves that you can see from guys like Benson and Brooks, and even guys that we're going to talk to here in a few minutes.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's low on Blake Corum, because he's actually my RB6. So I'm slightly lower than the new Eric. And it, interestingly, me and Kev, we've not discussed our rankings together, so I'm interested to see where you have him, Kev. I've also Blake Corum. I think he's almost the most NFL ready running back in this class. I think he's been just uber productive the last two seasons. Had it not been for that injury back in 2022, perhaps he would have come out last year. But how much was his production, that awesome Michigan offensive line? It was obviously, I think I could have ran behind that and been fairly productive. So not quite sure. When you look at his stats, a lot of his touchdowns are, so many are from within the 5 yard line. So he was slamming the ball home, much as you said, like the Gus Edwards role that he's going to have on the Chargers and has had on the Baltimore Ravens. But yeah, I just think he's probably obviously the most productive running back this coming out. I can see him being the most productive running back in year one, but that's where sort of the positives finish for me. I think there's question marks over the long term. I think there's, as you mentioned, there's not too much tread on the tires for Jonathan Brooks, but I think with Blake Corum, it's the opposite way. I think the long speed is clearly not there with Corum and his pass catching. I want a running back that's going to catch the ball, because a reception is much more than a rush. So for me, Blake Corum is RB6. I'm probably going to not end up with much Blake Corum, but yeah, I think I'm perhaps a bit too low on Corum. I've always tried to get him in my top five, but as you mentioned, he's not quite my type either, so he just falls outside my top five.
Yeah, I'm on with two smart guys tonight. I mean, we're all below consensus on Corum. I've got him as my running back six. Yeah, I think like last show or a couple of shows back, he got compared to muscle hamster Doug Martin. Now, since then, I've kind of, it wasn't me who made that comp, by the way, if you've not heard that show, just to clarify. I don't know what it is. It might be the similar sort of pathway to the NFL. But I see a little bit of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in him, you know, someone that's been on a national title winning team, smaller guy that's, it can be used in the pass game. I think he's going to struggle in the pros. I think he's going to get overdrafted. And like you said, Ali, I think he could be someone that's good early, which actually it gives you an opportunity to take him in your rookie drafts and move off him at a positive, at a profit as such. But yeah, I've got a ton of worries about him, just the age and sort of the explosiveness and but like you mentioned, the system that he played in Michigan behind that amazing O-line, a brilliant blocking tight end, the best team in the nation. So you've got to just take it with a little pinch of salt on that. And yeah, we're all below consensus on Corum, but it's me personally, I'm not too fussed about that. If I'm below consensus, then it's just going to slide down players down the board that I actually want to draft. But we're going to now move on to a guy that I will be taking with consensus. And we're going to go on to Jalen Wright.
Yeah, I actually have Wright as my RB3. So I think we are very similar. I love his ability to catch passes, obviously. You already mentioned that catch is worth more in fantasy. But also just the changing NFL product. You have those backs that don't have to be on the field for 20 carries a game anymore. Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm not saying that Wright is going to be Gibbs. I don't think he's that level of prospect, but I do see a lot of similarities between him and guys like Gibbs, guys like Kamara and other people that he's been comped to. I just think that for me, he starts off that second tier, and I do think he's part of a committee, but I think he's the plus side of the committee. He's the guy that you want in that committee. He is currently RB4 in DLS rankings and RB36 in overall ADP. I see a little bit of Gio Bernard in him. And before that's used as like a negative, Gio Bernard had a very long productive career. And when asked to be a starter or to be the primary part of an offense, he produced. So I think it was more, I think Gio's career kind of changed based more on the team identity than his actual ability. So, Jalen Wright needs to be used correctly, needs to go to a good landing spot. But if he does, I think he could hit and could his ADP or value could rise quickly in today's NFL.
Yeah, I'm already a big fan of this show because he's my RB3 as well. And he's that start of tier two as well. So I'm very much aligned. Productive, explosive is everything that you want in a running back nowadays. Think Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs of the last class. And yeah, productive at Tennessee, their first 1,000-yard rusher since 2015, and then just walked into the combine and absolutely smashed it. 4.38 40 time at 210 pounds, exactly what you want to see. The second longest ever broad jump for a running back at the combine. This is a guy that's not particularly had the fullest workload, but he's shown massive upside. He's a really decent pass catcher as well. For me, he's nailed on for day two draft capital, which is really good. Just such a creative runner as well, and he's someone that is hard to get down. Get him in open space. He's got that long speed as well. This is someone that is I want everywhere in fantasy, and his stock is really rising, so I'm not too happy to see that. But my bold prediction is that Jalen Wright is going to be the best running back, the best fantasy running back. When all said and done, in 5, 6, 7 years' time, Jalen Wright is going to be the best running back in this class.
I mean, speaking of the best, we have got the best three on tonight, haven't we? I mean, we're all in agreement with Jalen Wright being a stud or a potential stud. He's in my top tier. He's my running back three, so we've all got him as top three, which is quite funny. Start of the show, I said there's no consensus. Everyone's all over the place. We've been pretty much in lockstep so far. I think you're going to get the comps to A-Chain with the explosiveness and the explosive sort of rate that he had in college. I think there's more untapped potential as a receiver. Like the last season, he had over 20 receptions. Before that, it was pretty dire. But yeah, I think there's a lot to like with, obviously, the explosiveness, really good size, and untapped potential in there. So, yeah, really like Jalen Wright. I think he got a lot of buzz after Lance Zierlein did his sort of gradings on the prospects, and Jalen Wright was right up there, pardon the pun. But, I'm hoping that people don't push him up too far, because he's someone that is at the bottom of a tier in my rookie rankings in that first tier. I like targeting players at the bottom of tiers, so... fingers crossed, good landing spot. Maybe not the Panthers. But we're going to move on to the next guy now. And this guy's an enigma. I mean, anyone that's been playing sort of Devi football or paying attention to college football, he's got a huge profile, but potentially not lived up to it as much as he could have.
You're talking about Braylon Allen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, kind of like what I said with Corum, I definitely have a type, and Allen just isn't it for me. And so I may be a little harsher on him than he deserves. Obviously, there are things to like. He's had a good career. There are positives. But I actually have him all the way down at RB7 in this class. And I won't spoil it and say who's ahead of him yet. But I just think that that there are some things that I have questions about. I have questions about his speed. His long speed is fine. Obviously, once he gets through, he can take off. I worry a little bit about his athleticism and how it can translate to the running back position. I just see him, to me, as a clear backup in the NFL. Like, when I watch his tape, I see solid backup running back. So it's not like I don't think he can play in the league. I just don't think that he's going to be a big fantasy producer. One thing he does really well, and maybe the best in this class, is running through contact. But again, he's huge, like 235 pounds. And so he should be able to do that. But yeah, I probably won't have very many shares of him. Currently, he's ranked RB3 in the rookie class at DLF, and he's being drafted RB37 overall in the most recent ADP. So for me, he is not as exciting as most of the guys that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so Braylon Allen comes in as my RB5. He's someone that I see as a decent two-down running back in the NFL. I think he can translate. But I don't think he's ever going to be an RB1. I think you're talking about a mid RB2 at best. So his ceiling is capped. But I think he's been, as you mentioned, he's been very productive. He is a bigger back, which often I like, but his skill sets doesn't quite sort of match up with what I'm looking for. And that picture the other day of him standing next to Derrick Henry, he looks literally half the size of Derrick Henry. But just, I guess a lot of people are alluding to his age, the fact that he's only just turned 20, a couple of months ago. And for someone that came into college and at 17 years old was absolutely smashing it, it's exciting. I guess that's why all the Debbie players are clambering on him and have him that high. He's got a fumbling issue, though, which he never really cleared up. He also was very productive year one, but then his production and efficiency went down year on year. So that's slightly a concern, you think, with him getting older, his body getting bigger. He'd actually be more efficient, but it's actually gone the other way. So yeah, he's my RB5. I think there's obviously some growth to come as he's only 20 years old. Obviously the youngest back in the class, there is that potential, but I just think his ceiling is possibly capped at a mid RB2. So I'm only going to be happy with him at the back end of round two, which is probably going to be much later than where he's actually going.
Yeah, he's more name than game for me. Like, people will say, oh, he's had what, 50 receptions in college? He's had 49 receptions in college, actually, for 275 yards receiving. 5.6 yards per receiving in college. That's not translating to the NFL. Like, he's not getting that receiving work if he's averaging 5 yards per catch. That's worse than players like Damian Pierce when they were getting some love as a rookie. So it's really difficult to sort of project a ceiling for him if you're hoping for a guy that's essentially, for him to hit, he has to be 80% of Derrick Henry as a rusher from an efficiency point of view, from a touchdown point of view. And I just don't see it. I think he's going to go mid to early second round in your rookie drafts. And I just don't see the ceiling in PPR leagues. Like, he's going to have to be an outlier for me to truly hit. I'd rather take a punt on someone with upside in the pass game, someone that's can potentially work in a number of different schemes, than Braylon Allen landing in the perfect spot with the perfect draft capital to the perfect team and hitting that way. So I'm not saying that he can't hit, but I just think his probability of hitting is a lot lower than everyone else we've spoke about on the show so far, and probably lower than the next three guys that we're going to speak about as well. And the next one we've got is a guy that I've seen some people have him as running back one in the class. So I'm really intrigued to hear your thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd, Eric.
Okay, now this one I'm going to get excited about because he's actually my RB4 and in that same tier as Jalen Wright. And I just think that he is an all-around back, can play all three downs. He has good size. I don't know that he is the best in this class at any one thing, but I think he's top two or three at almost every single category. And so that tells me he's going to probably get several chances, even if he doesn't start hot. I really enjoyed watching his tape. He's just one of those guys that like I put on and just kind of lost myself watching, you know, game after game. I thought his vision is some of the best in the class. His burst was super impressive. I think he is being, you know, currently underrated overall by the community. I think he's ranked right now as RB6, being drafted at RB40 overall in latest ADP. And I think he's going to outperform that. I don't know. I could obviously make a case for any of these guys to just not quite live up to what we need to see to be a fantasy star. But I think he is going to be a really good NFL player, and hopefully that will translate to him putting up fantasy points as well.
Yeah, I think you are officially our favorite guest that we've had on the table because RB4 is exactly where I have Lloyd. I do see the likes of Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson getting drafted earlier than I'm comfortable with, and Lloyd and
right.
Lloyd and Wright, that's the one. The two that I want to target in all my the mid sort of second rounds. But it took till last year to get his career really back on track, that transfer to USC, where he just everything came together for him. He showcased his potential as a runner, as a pass catcher, really good, and he's such a great pass blocker as well, which I think is going to make a big difference to his draft stock, his impact on an NFL draft team. People are going to mention that the fumble in there, that he's got an issue, but that can be cleared up. As you mentioned, the NFL is moving to more creative offenses where you get the runner back in space, you move him outside. This is a guy that can do all of that, and he can take advantage and really run the ball home. So, yeah, I'm really excited about Marshawn Lloyd. He is my RB4. He's someone that I want loads of shares of. Yeah, really, really excited.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned, I'm going to piggyback there. I should have mentioned his pass blocking because I think that's one of the reasons why he was so easy to watch is because there wasn't really any sort of play, whether it was him going out for a pass or him staying in and pass blocking or him running the ball where he wasn't doing things right, you know, where he didn't look good. And I think that with some of the other backs, they either take the play off or there's not a lot of effort there in pass blocking or they're just bad at it. And, you know, he's impressive in that category to me, which tells me that he'll likely get on the field a little bit more than a lot of rookies do. And I did say he was underrated, but his ADP from February to March moved up 50 spots in overall ADP. So we are not the only ones who are, you know, coming around on him. I think he was being drafted around 170th overall, and now he's in that 125 range. So hopefully it won't go too much higher just so that, yeah, we can snag him in the middle of the late second rounds of Dynasty Rookie Mocks.
Yeah, I'm going to let you boys down now. Like, I've got him so far down my rankings, running back 7. He's still in that second tier for me. Like, I've got a 3 and then a 4, and he's my 7th ranked guy. I probably need to revisit it because, obviously, you're two smart dudes, and you spoke glowing with him. And also, a guy I really respect in this community, Kevin Coleman of Davy Royale. It's Marshawn Lloyd's his running back 1. When I heard that on his show, I think it was on David Gautieri's show today, that really got me thinking, well, maybe I do need to relook at Marshawn Lloyd. And I know you boys pumped him up for his pass blocking. I'm going to talk about his receiving work now. Like I joked on Braylon Allen a little bit, but I mean, we're looking at Marshawn Lloyd's numbers. He was averaging 13.3 yards per reception. That's why receiver numbers. So he's fantastic in space. I think pass receiving upside is massive for me. He's someone that's done it at a couple of colleges. I really like his game. Like, if you're just looking at the pure sort of data, the numbers, I don't see too much difference between him and Trey Benson. Like, if you could argue the fact that he should be up there right along with Benson. So that is an oversight on my part that I've got him so low as my running back seven. But I'll have to revisit that because you too.
You've got time, Kev.
I've got time.
Well, and I think a lot of it is going to come down to landing spot too. Mm-hmm. You know, like these rankings have the potential probably more than any other position to change dramatically with not just landing spot, but also where they go. You know, if some of these guys that we have in our second tier are going fourth round, fifth round or later, then that's going to have an effect both on what I think of them, but also just, you know, the opportunity that they're going to get. So I think this running back class is going to be very interesting to watch how early they get drafted and then what kind of opportunity they get drafted into.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's going to be really exciting on draft night. I always find day two to be the most exciting because that's when you get all your running backs and your sort of wide receivers that are going to be values in your rookie drafts because that they end up going round two in your rookie draft. So we're going to move on from Marshawn Lloyd, a guy that I'm too low on potentially, to a guy that I'm definitely not low on, and I'm really interested to hear your guys' thoughts on Ray Davis.
Yeah, Ray Davis. He is one of the guys I alluded to of having in front of Braylon Allen. So he is my RB6. Really like the guy. I found myself questioning if I was too high on him. I think he does everything well, but is maybe not going to be used in the NFL. Like, doesn't have the skill set to be used in today's NFL as much as some of the other guys that I have in front of him. So some of my notes that I made was that he runs through contact, but he also is pretty elusive. He sets up defenders. This is probably my top positive thing about him is he sets up defenders at the second level using his shoulders and his head. So he gets them out of position without him having to move his lower body. And that leads to a lot of extra yards that you don't see from other running backs. I thought he had better speed than I expected him to have on field speed, not talking about 40 or actual numbers, but just watching him. And then I thought he was a tough inside runner. Sometimes you don't see the acceleration that you want to see. And I can't tell without watching more if that's patience or if that's he doesn't have the ability to accelerate. And then his pass blocking leaves a lot to be desired. Doesn't always finish his run super strong, but I think this guy is definitely like a tough football player who will be on a team and will get opportunities. I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity, an extended period of opportunity. It may be one of those running backs where you keep him on your roster and he gets three or four games where he is the guy because of injury or other situation, and he does great for you. And then you don't hear from him for another, you know, 6-8 games or into the next season. So I'm kind of, he is right there on the edge of like starter or backup for me. But there's a lot to enjoy about his game.
Yeah, I think Ray Davis is actually a really good running back. I just think he's going to be on the opposite end of the spectrum to Braylon Allen for dynasty managers because he's going to be 24 years old when the season begins. So this is an older guy. And I think a lot of what I'm looking at this offseason is the likability factor. And if it doesn't quite work out straight away with Ray Davis, I think you're going to find that there's going to be teams or managers that just don't want anything to do with a rookie running back that's 24 years old, already moving into that territory where people find that they're old, they want to get rid of these running backs. But he is a good running back in his own right. He's obviously had a very long college career, played with three different teams, which I think is a positive. He's learned different schemes. And his latest year, I absolutely love the fact that he's really reinvented himself as a really good pass catcher in 2023. So that does excite me. Draft capital, I think, will be huge with Ray Davis. I do think, and I have a feeling that he's going to be a better running back in the NFL than fantasy producer. He's not really got the long speed or explosiveness to make me that excited, but he does churn out them yards. he's a really good running back in his own right. But yeah, personally, he's off my radar just because I think people are going to draft him higher than I want to draft him. And yeah, if it doesn't quite work out early on for Ray Davis, you've got an older running back on your roster that is going to be hard to move off of.
Yeah. I'm one of those guys you mentioned, Ali, that's going to be drafting him higher than you. running back 4 in my rankings currently. So I'm very much on the Ray Davis train. I think first thing, when I see the name, I'm like, that's familiar, that name. Where do I know that from? And got me thinking, like, there's a band from the 70s in the UK called The Kinks, and the lead singer's called Ray Davis. I think he's probably the same age as this Ray Davis by the looks of it. And maybe one day Ray Davis can be the lead singer of his running back band in the league, but we'll just have to see how that one pans out. I think you've both summed it up really well. Like, you made some great points about the overall profile, Eric, and then Ali, you mentioned about, like, if you ever try to move off a guy that's going to be 25 after a season in the NFL and potentially done nothing, it's going to be real difficult. I see a little bit of a flip where I think if he's 22 years old, people are going to be a lot more excited than him being 24 now. I know that, yeah, it matters that he's going to be 24 because his production comes against younger college players, etc. But I just feel like with what we see at running back now, I'm only thinking sort of literally this season coming up in most circumstances. I play Dynasty on 2-year windows this year and next year, but I think running back can condense it and kind of treat it like redraft. I think he's someone that's got a lot of skills to come in. If he gets that luck with the role and the right team and maybe the unfortunate luck of injury in front of him, I think he's more than capable to really really build on where he will be drafted in rookie drafts to give you a window to move off him. Like, I don't think the star talent is there to see him go off and stick with him throughout his 4 or 5 years in the league. But I do think it gives you an opportunity that you can take him, what's he going to be, late round 2, potentially round 3 in some spots. And yeah, he'll give you a chance to re-roll or look to package him in something that gives you something better in time. But really impressed with Ray Davis. I think solid in a lot of the things he does. Biggest knock is the age, but I'm not too fussed about age because I'm in my mid to late 30s myself. So pulling out for the older guys.
Yeah, I was kind of neutral on the age only because of the position. I think there is something to obviously people producing younger, but as far as like his age scaring me off of him, I didn't really take that into account because you never know how many years you're going to get out of a running back anyway. But from a value perspective, I can see the point about not being able to move him. So he might be one of those guys that if he doesn't hit right away, you may be stuck with him. But hopefully he won't go high enough at that point that it burns you. You know, you should be able to get him late enough in rookie drafts that if you miss on the pick, you miss on the pick, even if you don't get value in, you know, in trading him off your roster.
Yeah, I love that. Love that shout there, Eric. And we're now going to come on to the final main running back we're going to speak about on today's show. And a guy you put forward to us to discuss today, Eric, Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I like him because I feel like he's quite a bit different than most of the running backs in this class. And so just kind of as a contrast to a lot of those players, I have him, right around the same area that I have Braylon Allen. I have him a spot lower, so he's my RB8 in the class. But I still think there's a lot to like, and I think he can be used in the right situation, but it could easily go off course as well. Some of the comps that I had for him, or maybe more of his role in the NFL, would be like a Nyheim Hines or Tariq Cohen type, which both of those guys had flashes, and if they didn't have some of the injury history, both of them, they could have actually been producers for your team. So I like Irving. I mean, as a hands catcher, he looks like a wide receiver at the running back position. He follows his blocks really well. He also is really good at setting up defenders at the second level. For his frame, I feel like he was really hard to bring down, and he's very shifty. He struggled with blocking, which isn't surprising, and is a little bit apprehensive, you know, when it comes to taking on contact. And so you wonder if he's apprehensive about that in college, how is that going to translate to the NFL? And obviously his combine didn't help his draft stock at all. So I think his value and his ranking for me is going to come down to where he lands and kind of the vision of how are they going to use him. If somebody drafts him and they already have a running back that can catch in front of him, he may just not get that opportunity. But I think if a team sees that he can play that third down back role, that he can go out and catch passes, he can play in the slot a little bit, then I think he could be useful for dynasty owners. But I think he's just one of those guys. He's like fun to watch. He's electric. And yeah, the pass catching, I mean, he may be, him and Jalen Wright are probably at the top of this class as far as catching passes and looking natural doing it. So he's very enjoyable to me. And I think part of it is just the contrast in style between him and most of the other players.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with everything you've said there. He's my RB7. He's someone that I really wanted to get high because all of my leagues are PPR leagues. This is the guy that I want. I want these pass catching specialist running backs. The thing with me is I've just been burned by so many smaller pass catching specialists in the past few years. And I've always thought that it only takes one of these to work out. And I've got an absolute gold mine on my hands. But yeah, I just think there's always such a slim chance that he actually falls into the perfect spot where he can produce and be what you think he could be. But yeah, he's been such a great, he's had a really, really good career, an amazing career, really, really productive. The fact he's only had one fumble in his career, I thought was really impressive for someone that size. And he is hard to bring down. He does keep them legs churning. So yeah, I do like him. I feel like I've seen so many people rank him in their top three or four. So I'm probably unlikely to get too many shares. And I just feel like someone who is around about 190 pounds, I think to be really good in the NFL, to be like a Devon Achane, you need to be super fast. And I just think that he's not super explosive. So I've got a few question marks there. But yeah, this is a guy that I'm going to use. This is my catchphrase. And Kev knows what I'm going to say now. But I just want one share of this guy just in case he's the next Austin Ekeler and he has an amazing PPR career. But I will take my chances that he's not. But yeah, I just want one share of him.
Yeah, I think if there was one guy in this class that our former co-host Matt would be into, you know, the smaller guy that's good at pass catching, it had to be Bucky Irving. So when I saw him post about Bucky Irving a few days ago, that made me chuckle. I mean, he's been onto like guys like your Kyren Williams and your Keaton Mitchells, your Cincy McCormick. So not all great, but really good in the sense of Kyren Williams. Keaton Mitchell was one that really stood out to me as well. So I mean, first of all, whoever wrote the DLF article on Bucky Irving's a really smart dude, me. I just think like you mentioned, Eric, he's different to what you see. And I think if I was just ranking purely off film grade, he would be in my top three or four just because of what he does. He's surprisingly good for his size at like the power aspect of things. And the only flaws I could really see were like the pass blocking, the explosiveness and the long speed. I think everything else he does really well. Like pass catching is so fluid. I think great vision and someone that, like, it, being honest, in my rankings, he's not as high as consensus. I've got him currently. This might sound disrespectful, but he's currently my running back 12. He's in a big tier. And he could easily rise up to running back 8, but I just think he's projected to go day 3. He's not fast. Do I want to make a bet on a slow day 3 running back that's got to land in a perfect situation with opportunity? No, I don't. Not at where I've seen him going in some places, like you mentioned, top 5 in the class. I think, yeah, if he lands on day 3 in the NFL draft, on day 2, round 3, of the NFL draft, I started getting interested then. And he's someone that actually, and we can say this for all running backs, but I think he is someone that landing spot will be massive for me. Because I do think if he gets the opportunity, he can definitely be a committed back playing the pass catching role in a tandem with somebody. So I love him on film. I don't like him as much analytically. Probably seems harsh that I've got him running back 11, but I think there's a big range of outcomes in his profile, and I can't wait for draft night to see where he does end up in the league. So that brings us to the end of sort of the core running backs. Before we move on to our super section, the fantasy wildcard, I just wanted to ask you, Eric, is there anybody we've not covered that you want to give a quick shout out or a highlight to as someone that you're interested in a little bit deeper? And then we'll come to you after that, Ali.
I mean, honestly, I think that this running back class, like we've said, is just so, for lack of a better word, like meh. It's just average, that I don't know that there's anybody that like jumps off, you know, the tape at me. I mean, there are interesting guys like Isaac Grundo, especially after what he did at the combine. Estime, you know, he's more of the like big pounder style. But for me, the guys that we talked about are the guys that I'm really looking at primarily. And, you know, I don't know that I'm really even like, for me, the second and the third rounds of rookie drafts are going to be where I take these guys. In the fourth round, I am probably going to be more likely to take shots on wide receivers and tight ends than I am at these running backs. I just feel like the further you get down this list, the probability of them hitting is just way less. So I'm mostly interested in these top, you know, 7-8 backs out of this class.
Mm-hmm. Love that answer. Ali, who's yours?
A couple of shout outs from me. I think Will Shipley. Now I'm going for two. I can't. Will Shipley, I think someone that has been talked about in Devy realms for a while now. His draft stock is dropped, but it's now rising again. I'm really quite interested in him. And then the other one, Tyrone Tracy, is someone that converted wide receiver, fits the mold perfectly for someone that's going to catch passes. Really interested to see where he lands and what scheme he lands in.
Cool. Well, I wasn't going to do any, but I might do two now, actually, just to follow. So I think I like Isaiah Davis, the other Davis in the class, someone that's I want him. If he can land on day two, that'd be great. But if not, I'll still be happy to take him at value. And then I'm torn on the last one. I could make it three, but we'll go for Kimani Vidal. I know someone that he's had quite a bit of buzz, actually. I think the first person on him was Jax Falcone about 4 months ago. Like, very early on in the offseason, I saw this name. I thought, that's interesting. I wonder how that plays out. So, yeah, Kimani Vidal, someone that's a bigger dude, but I think he's got a lot of potential. He's a raw guy. I think he played at somewhere like Troy. So he could be someone that really steps up. Right, we come to the main event, the fantasy wildcard selection. This is where we get our guest to pick his fantasy wildcard, the player that will improve the dynasty value the most in 2024. Eric, let everyone know who's your fantasy wildcard for this season.
Yeah, I picked the Packers wide receiver, Jaden Reed, partially because I just like his game. I think he's still underrated. And partially because I see his ADP and I just think that it has a lot of room to move. So, you know, when asked to pick this, that's what I started off with, is who are the guys that are lower than I think they should be? And then can I see a ceiling for him even beyond where I think they should be? And so for me, the reason why he's not being drafted higher is because of all the other talent that they have in Green Bay. But typically, at least from what I've seen in the NFL, that kind of sorts itself out, whether it's by trade, whether it's by injury, whether it's by just somebody emerging. And to me, he is the primary receiver there. Christian Watson brings elements that Jaden Reed can't bring, just because of his size and frame and the abilities. They are very complementary of each other. So I don't think Watson being healthy and maybe living up to what people were hoping for hurts him. I think actually it helps him. And if that doesn't happen, then you have a guy like Dobbs who also is a bigger guy and can fill that role. So I just see Reed having a very defined role on that team. And with Jordan Love also being somebody who I think's value is going to rise, I think they rise together. So I think there's just so many things to like about Jaden Reed. I have him in almost every dynasty league. Very happy to see kind of if he can even make another jump. I think he had a very productive season, but I want to see, can he make another jump after that? I just think he's going to score a lot of fantasy points.
Yeah, so this pick actually annoyed me slightly because obviously we, as hosts of this show, we don't get to pick our wild card until the very end after the guest. So Jaden Reed would have been one of the first names on my list. And you've also mentioned there about Jordan Love, and I just think I completely agree. And he's someone that I'm targeting in every league. I think he's waiting to be a top eight dynasty quarterback this time next year. So absolutely love the Packers offense. I think the only thing that could let it down is the fact that there is plenty of options there, including two decent tight ends as well. But yeah, you've taken my guy. So if I may have to select Dontayvion Wicks to go up against see how that plays out. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. Fantastic pick for me.
Don't be that Dontayvion Wicks fan. Like, gets so much hype in the dynasty community. But on Jaden Reed, yeah, I love the pick. Wide receiver 27 at Keep Trade Cut. Plenty of room to grow. Like, I think there's potential risk there that there's other weapons, but actually, I think that's affecting his value, if I'm honest. I think if they bomb out, which there's four of them, it's likely that two of them do bomb out, probably Watson and we'll say Wicks just to wind some people up, then he's in a position, prime position to rise. I think tied to Jordan Love is really exciting with what he showed towards the end of last season. And yeah, he had an amazing rookie season in a year where there was a ton of rookie success as well. So I think he might have got lost in the pile a little bit over guys like Tank Dell and Puka Nacua, etc., who really stood out and shone. But Jaden Reed did in his own right as well. I think there's more to come. I think his role, where he's getting a lot of volume, does make him slightly risky, but he's a volume guy. But I see explosiveness as well. I see touchdown upside. I see receiving and rushing work as well. So I love the pick.
I'm glad you said that, because that's what I was going to mention too, was I think he had over 100 rushing yards last year and a couple of touchdowns. Yep. And anytime you can get a guy scoring kind of out of position, you know, is going to just help kind of inflate that value, or I'm sorry, inflate the fantasy points, but not inflate the value. You know, for whatever reason, it seems like dynasty managers kind of ignore that. They kind of write it off to being a fluke, but actually it's pretty sustainable. Guys who score touchdowns from the wide receiver position on the ground continue to do so throughout their career. It doesn't mean he's going to get two touchdowns every year or get as many opportunities, but I think that's part of their offense, so I could see that continuing. And one thing I didn't mention is I don't think Love played all that well through stretches of the season last year. I don't think he really found his groove. And so I think that, you know, you even take that away, and then Reed was banged up for a couple of games where he played, but didn't play at full strength. And I just think that the upside is enormous. I think he could jump a lot higher than people are expecting. And I'm glad to hear that I took one of your guys.
I love that as well. That's been the best part of tonight's show, I think, taking Ali's guy. But yeah, that brings us to the end of tonight's show, where we've discussed the incoming rookies at running back. So before you go, Eric, please remind the audience where they can find you and anything that you'd like to plug.
Yeah, I will plug everything DLF. DLF's Dynasty League Football. For anybody who is unfamiliar, if you play in a Dynasty League, Debbie League, if you're interested in Dynasty, you should check out our site. We have, I mean, there's more information than I could plug in a two minute spot. We actually are getting ready to release our rookie draft guide, and then we'll continue to add to that throughout the off season. And then a dynasty draft guide kind of complementing that as we get closer to the regular season. But I mean, we have everything from rankings to a podcast, to videos, to tools, articles, all kinds of stuff. Kev, you write for us, to do some great work there. And yeah, there's really just something for everybody. And I get to kind of be behind the scenes and help with the kind of the back end of that, the content plan and helping editing and development of writers and stuff. So it's enjoyable. So I will plug basically my role when describing it to family and friends is to promote other people's really good work. And I love doing that. So go check out Dynasty League Football. And yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. This was great.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yeah, obviously I'll have a few words to say as well, but we'll come to you first, Ali, for your final thoughts on tonight's show.
Yeah, no, really enjoyed the show. You obviously work incredibly hard, Eric, because the stuff that I read Kev writes is actually really good. So you must work really hard to make that up to standard. And no, just DLF has been my go-to platform for a long time now. I still remember the day that DLF followed me on Twitter. It was a great day. And yeah, just fantastic to have you on. Thought it's been a really, really good show. Interesting where we were together on some of the rookie running backs. But as you mentioned at the top, there's not a consensus. So yeah, it's a really interesting class and really enjoyed tonight's show.
Yeah, just echoing what Ali said, like you've been such an amazing guest on tonight's show. The knowledge, like it's unbelievable. And I think like in a way it's been great that we've agreed on say the majority of players to sort of give a bit of a consensus to our rankings. Like I do get there's some shows where everyone has something a little bit different and you can sort of make your own mind up and you take the piece from each player. But I think we've been pretty solid on a core few, which I think the audience can take away and really, really focus on. That's been down to your excellent advice, Eric. And yeah, just echoing everything you said about DLF, like I'm obviously a writer there. We've got some really exciting plans for draft time and sort of the live reactions and everything that follows in the off season. It's just beginning. But yeah, really appreciate you coming on tonight's show, giving us your time and your knowledge to our audience. Okay, so thank you for tuning in. Be sure to follow us and subscribe to us on X and YouTube at Fantasy Wildcard and at Wildcard Dynasty. Join us every Wednesday of the off season where we'll be dropping a new show. Thank you once again. Have a good one, and we'll see you again very soon.
When you have the wild card, you have the power to change the game.